with Malachi. My wife had asked me earlier what my title was going to be, and I really didn't know. But I will say, it's important for us to know there's room for Elijah. For Elijah makes room for the Messiah. There's room for Elijah. Because Elijah makes room for the Messiah. What meaneth all of that? Why would you say that? Listen to what the scripture says. We have the fourth chapter, which many will say that it should have just went straight through and not have that division. But remember, the divisions came hundreds of years later. And anytime we can find a fault with where the division is, where they call it the fourth chapter at a verse and we would have done it somewhere else. You think about it. Most people haven't even read the whole Bible. Where would you have put the chapter and verses? And if they didn't have the chapter and the verses, if someone said, go look in the book of Malachi and find something, or better yet, Isaiah, 66 chapters, or Psalms, 150. Go in there and find where David said in the Psalm, Lord, break the teeth of my enemies. And they can't give you a chapter or a verse. Most people would give up before they ever find it. At least until the days of computer came. Elijah must come, but Elijah will make room for the Messiah. Listen to these verses. Malachi chapter 4 verse 1, the word of the Lord. For behold, the day cometh, and shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly shall be as stubble. And the day cometh that shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall, and you shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet. In the day that I do this, saith the Lord of hosts, in the day that I do this, saith the Lord of hosts, remember ye the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded unto him at Horeb for all of Israel, with the statutes and judgments. Behold, I will send to you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite thee with the curse. That's the word of the Lord. Imagine being one of those that heard that. Imagine being one of those that heard what we call the first verse. The proud and the wicked, judgment, burning. Those that fear, healing, righteousness, getting fat and happy. That's one of the stalls. Treading down the wicked. Being under your feet just like ashes crumbling. Then there's like an interlude. All of this that I'm telling you is nothing new, verse 4. What did I tell Moses, my servant? I commanded him to tell you these things. He didn't volunteer. As a matter of fact, he had tried to get out of it. And I asked him. And I asked him in my inimitable way. Who made your mouth? Well, tell me what you can't say. I'm going to send you to Pharaoh, but I'm also going to send you to my people. Don't tell me what you can't say. Then he says, I'm going to send Elijah the prophet. Do you notice how that works? I want you to remember what I told Moses, what I set down by Moses. Then I'm going to send you somebody that's going to validate what Moses said and let you know that I meant what I said when I said what I said when I said it. But then, time will run out. And some will repent. And some will repent and do their role as leaders. Some will do their role as those that follow the leaders. But if you don't, that's what that lest means. Lest I come and smite the earth. You could even say the land. Somebody might say, Tim, how can you just pick and choose when it could say the earth or it could say the land? Well, the word there, the Hebrew word is eretz. And that's pretty much what you see throughout the whole of scriptures. The whole of scriptures, when it's dealing with the children of Israel, the people that are supposed to be the people of God, often it will talk about the earth, but it will be talking about the area in which they live. Let's go and look at this chapter now as we've gone through and just kind of given some highlights. Let's see where this thing has taken us. Let's not forget, the first thing was God had to be honored properly. In the first chapter, we talked about God. If God can't get what a father get, if God can't get what a master get, we got a real problem there. We also have to remember God has to be worshipped acceptably. You don't tell God what you want to do. You don't go tell God, I'm going to start a kind of ministry that he doesn't even want. You don't go and make it up as you go. And it goes against God's word. He doesn't have to accept it. The scripture has already shown that. I don't have to beat it down. Then we have to begin to realize that the people of God are supposed to know what God say. And that's the very thing that their mouth should speak. And that they should teach one another. And especially those that are under them. Those that in the position of leadership would have been called elders many times. And they were supposed to speak God's word. Borrow a word from Dr. Moorcraft that he probably stole from somebody. Not innovations. Don't come up with something new. Do you know how God feels about something new in his worship? I want to give you one just for free. Because Malachi 4th chapter 1 through 6, it's not that long, but it's that powerful. But I want you to see how God feels about what we call, or what I've heard called, innovation. Innovation is when you've decided a different way to serve God other than what he wants, other than what he said he will accept. Listen to what the Bible says. It's very, very beautiful. The Bible talks about individuals that serve God, and when they offer things that God hates, and he can be repugnant. Can I say he can be repugnant? In the way he looks at it, I don't want to say that God is repugnant. Just let me show you. Go to Isaiah chapter 66 for me. I want you to just see one of these beautiful things that God has to say about the wicked and the ungodly. I'm going to read. I was going to let Anne read it for me, but I don't know if she's gotten there yet. The Bible says in Isaiah 66:1, thus saith Yahweh, heaven is my throne. And the earth is my footstool. If you read through that like you're going to a race, you miss out on so much. I'm not going to explain the whole thing, but just think about it. Any king that has ever lived on the earth, his throne was in a little small geographical area. It's probably a place maybe a little wider than his bottom. And in order to make it big, sometimes the chair might be elevated very high with elaborate gold and silver and all of that kind of stuff on it. And it might have a lion or two about it. But listen to this. Heaven is my throne. Those that have never been outside when it's really, really black and you look at all of the stars and God knows if you're somewhere where you can see the aurora borealis and see all of those colors and all of those lights around, and he said, that's my throne. And if you've ever been in a plane and looked down and he said, this is where I put my feet, then you might begin to start smelling what he's saying. Heaven is my throne and earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you would build unto me? And where is the place of my rest? In other words, if my throne encompasses heaven and my footstool earth, what's going to be big enough then to put my footstool in and be my house? Or put my heaven in and be my... That's my throne! That's my... And then he says, all these things my hand have made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord. But to this man will I look, even to him that is of a poor and contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word. This is the man that I look for, one that knows how to honor me, one that has given me acceptable sacrifices, one that will keep my word in his mouth, because he knows that my word is the very thing that gives him the position that he has. He knows that my word is the very thing that brings forth life or executes death. He knows that my word is the very thing that I honor. And therefore, if he want to be honored, he'll keep my word. He will not come up with a new innovation or something else. Listen to what it looks like for the individual that comes up with something different. What do you mean different? If you go and you try to serve me like I said, you don't honor me, you don't offer me acceptable sacrifices, you don't treat your wife like you're supposed to, you don't keep me word in your mouth, your home life is out of order. When you kill an ox, as I have told you to do, it's as if you killed a man and offered him as a sacrifice to me. I'm not the one. You have offered an innovation while you were doing what I said, but you were not doing what I said. I don't care about you finding a loophole. You did what I said. My word is spirit. My word is life. So you better not run away from the spirit of my word. And he just sacrificed a lamb as if he cut off a dog's neck. Imagine this priesthood in Malachi twice a day offering dog. But you cut the animal's head off and you let the blood drain off. He that sacrifices a lamb as if he cuts off a dog neck, and he that offers an oblation or an offering as if he went and took a hog's blood and sprinkled it around the altar. And he that burns incense, the very symbol of prayer, is as if he took Dagon, or one of the phallic symbols, or one of the female fertility symbols, and blessed it. Yay. They have chosen their own way, and their souls are delighted in their abominations. One more. I'll choose their delusion. I'll bring their fears upon them. Because when I call, none did answer. When I spake, they did not hear. But they did evil before mine eyes, and chose that which I delighted in not. Well, listen. We moved down to where he said he was going to curse them. You made people hate my sacrifices. I feel so much about you and your dog offering sacrifices, your swine blood sacrifices, your man killing sacrifices, then I'm going to rub dung in your face. Somebody said, but they didn't offer a man. If God says that your sacrifice is equal to killing a man, do you want to think what you think, or you want to think what he thinks? I want to think God's thoughts after him. And if God is saying that your sacrifice is of such that I'm going to spread the dung in your face, understand what he is saying. Well, the law of God was supposed to be kept in such a way that people would avoid iniquity. But when you don't serve God like he's supposed to be served, then you make the asinine statement, where is the God of judgment? I'm just going to read this one scripture in chapter 2. Just one. That's a whole lot of men that is good. But to make my point that God is going to send Elijah the prophet before he sends the Messiah, and that God sends Elijah before he sends the Messiah for a reason. Listen to this. 2:17 Malachi says, you have wearied the Lord with your words. Yet you say, wherein have we wearied him? You say everyone that does evil is good, and that he delighteth in them. Did I just show you in the book of Isaiah, God does not have to delight in what you do? But you say, where is the God of judgment? Before we ever get to 4, remember I said I believe, and that many people also believe that 4 should have been a continuation of 3, but it's okay. Behold, I will send my messenger, 3:1. He shall prepare the way before me. I'm going to tell you now, that's Elijah. He will prepare the way for me, and the Lord whom you see will suddenly come to his temple. He is the messenger of the covenant upon whom you delight in. Now the amazing thing about that is, when I read in Isaiah, in the 66th chapter, and when I'm in the 3rd verse, listen to the delight. And I believe that I'm right. I believe that I'm right. That the delight, because of everything that he has told me about your worship and the way that you conduct yourself in the book of Malachi, I see no different than what he's saying in Isaiah 66:3. He that kills an ox as if he had a man sacrifice, if he slew a man. He that sacrificed a lamb as if he cuts off a dog neck. He that offers an oblation or a sacrifice as if he offers swine blood. He that burns incense as if he blessed an idol, you have chosen, or they have chosen their own way, and their soul delighteth in their abomination. Their abomination was their worship, but their worship was not the type of worship that God wanted, because you worshiped and you didn't honor me. Let me bring that to the year 2014, or at least a little 53 years of my life. How many people have you known that have gone to church all their life and know that their preacher got a girlfriend, or that their preacher got a boyfriend, or that they're stealing in there, or that they're beating people up in that church, or that they're dealing drugs in that church, or that you go and you worship something, Assalamu alaikum, and you say that this man, Qutan Muhammad, is equal to the living Christ, and Muhammad is a created being, and you're going to call him the praised one, or you're going to listen to this little boy that followed some of the stuff of the Masons and talk about he got something from Moroni and say, I believe Joseph Smith is a prophet, and make him equal to God, and call yourself a Latter-day Saint, or you will say, I'm Baptist, I'm Methodist, I'm Catholic, I'm Presbyterian, and I can live in any kind of ungodly way that I want to, and it's okay with God as long as I go to church and bring my tithes and I say my prayers, or I don't even have to serve God, I pray. And you delight in your abomination because you don't tremble at his word. And when God's word come to people in this day, they didn't want to hear it. And God said, I'm going to send Elijah. Well, before we get there, I keep telling you about Elijah, let me tell you something. And I'm not going to tell you something about a man named Jed. I'm going to tell you something about a man named Elijah, the Tishbite. Bible talks about Elijah the Tishbite as being a hairy man, and he wore a leathern girdle. And this man, during the time that he lived, stood up against King Ahab, a wicked, ungodly man of the offspring of Omri. King Omri. One that had military prowess, that you read more about Omri
and his power that they called it Omri land outside of the Bible than you do in the Bible. This man married a woman, Jezebel, and Jezebel was allowed to bring her worship there. And this man Ahab coveted, and as a king in the position of ruling over God's people, and he in the highest position in the land, insofar as the civil law is concerned, lets this man get killed and took his land. Yes, he did. And his wife not only was privy to it, but wrote in his name, and the man didn't stop it. And the people that followed the leaders allowed it to go on.
Elijah the Tishbite came up,
and this man said, Elijah, are you he that troubles the land? This is who God said I'm going to send. I'm going to send somebody like this
before the great and terrible day of the Lord. Well, Ahab with his big, nasty, raggedy mouth asked him, are you the one that troubled the land? And he said, are you the one that troubled the land? And when God told him what he would do, he repented. The Bible tells me that he told Elijah, you see how he walking tenderly? I'm still going to get him, but I'm not going to do it right now in his day. Then, moving on down, the people of God, it got these people, these same people, had gotten so far away from God with their type of righteousness, with their type of going and worshiping, with their type of sacrifices, without keeping God's word in their mouth, without trembling at God's word, and still mistreating their children, and doing things that were wicked and ungodly, and not doing justice and judging for the widows, the orphans, and not honoring God like they should. They would worship God, and they would call Baal Lord, and still worship while they were mixing in other things with the worship. And the very God of heaven, the first commandment that he told them, you will have no other gods before me. That doesn't mean you won't go and worship Baal first and then come worship me second. That's not what before me means. Before me means in my face. What did Ann say to tempt him? If you marry me, you'll have no other woman before me. So I come home, I do my duties at home, I pay bills, then I go out in the morning time, I go to work, then I go see some other person, and she finds out about it, and she said, didn't I tell you before we got married, you will not have anybody before me? I didn't have her before you, sweetheart. She was after. Will that sell? You sitting here, no, will that sell?
No, absolutely not.
Well, what if I say, but you weren't around?
Absolutely not.
You can't do that to God. So God allowed Elijah to have a meeting on top of the mountain with all the priests of Baal as well as the prophets. It was 400 priests and 450 prophets, or it was backwards. The total was 850 men. And look at 1 Kings 19. See, for some reason I get that number backwards. I think it's 450 prophets. And 400 priests. But anyway, they were supposed to call fire down from heaven. And whichever Lord, because they had mixed and moved from trembling at God's word to the place where they didn't know what true worship was anymore, because the priest's lips didn't keep knowledge, and Elijah mocked them. Maybe your God is out hunting on an expedition. Maybe he is asleep. Jump some more. Cut yourself some more. Maybe your God is somewhere in the back room using the bathroom. Maybe he is relieving himself of some of what he ate, and he can't come right now. And after so long a period of time, all the gushing and the things that they were doing, he didn't call fire down from heaven. I know people think that that couldn't happen, but rest fully assured, those men were acting as if things had happened before when they prayed to their God. And Elijah took and had water poured over the sacrifices, and he called for the God of heaven, and God called down fire and burnt up all of the sacrifices, and God had this man, Elijah, that was going to prepare the hearts of the children and prepare the hearts of the father to return to him, so that the fathers and the mothers and the leaders would teach the people right, and that the people would be able to follow them. He had them to kill all of the prophets, all of the priests, and they put them to death. They did not compromise. They did not say you can worship any way you want to in this land as long as you don't bother us. They got rid of the competition. And before Elijah died, God told him to anoint a couple of people. He anointed one we call Elisha, and he anointed a man named Jehu. He had Jehu to put Jezebel to death. And there are other such wonderful things that Elijah the prophet did, but Elijah brought about judgment to show that there is no compromise when it comes to the true worship of God. When it's the true worship of God, as a man of God, I follow God. Ahab one time sent and said, tell Elijah to come here. Tell him I said it. I'm the king. Get here now. And Elijah said, if I be a man of God, let fire come down and burn him. Burn up the company of 50. Did it about 2 or 3 times, but that last man came to him with wisdom in his lips. Mr. Elijah, prophet, Mr. Prophet, man of God, man, sir, please, I saw what happened. Please don't do this to me. But Ahab at least told me to say this. And Elijah said, I'll go. Now, when you see this, and you think about Elijah, yes, I could have read it. But just for the sake of time, I didn't. And when you read this and you say, behold, I will send my messenger and he shall prepare the way for me. Elijah was preparing the way for those people to have forgiveness and repentance. Because guess what? It wasn't much longer after Elijah before they had to go into captivity. Oh. They didn't turn. And he said, then the Lord whom you seek with your stuff, he'll come to his temple. Even the messenger of the covenant. Two messengers. The forerunner messenger and the messenger of the covenant. And he asks a sweet thing. When he appears, who will stand? And I want you to catch this one thing right here in verse 3 as we move down to our text. And he shall sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver. How many people think that when the refiner of silver takes the dross off the top, he keeps it? How many think he keeps the dross and some kind of way maybe decorates the purified silver with it? No. He throws it away. Am I right? Am I right? Mm-hmm. As a refiner of silver, that's the same thing as a purifier of silver. Am I correct? Now listen to what the next verse says. This is parallelism. And he shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver. I will submit to you that those that don't repent and those that don't change will be just like the dross. They will be thrown away. And when that happens, that's when God will get the righteous service that he deserves. They asked one question. They asked one time, where is the God of judgment? We're going to see him in a few minutes. We need to move down to verse 15 so that we can really see what's happening in chapter 4. Remember, chapter 4 is really a part of chapter 3. There was not a really significant break there, but I wanted us to see who we're dealing with. Listen to what these people do. Well, I'm going to just tell you in verse 14, they just said it's vain to serve God. But listen to what he says here. And now we call the proud happy. They may have had their own song. They might have felt that happiness is the truth. He said, we call the proud happy. Listen. Yea, they that work wickedness are set up. Notice, we got proud, we got the wicked, and they that tempt God are even delivered. Wow. They escape. Well, the Bible makes a contrast, but we're going to get back to that 15th verse if you hold it in your mind. But they that feared the Lord, they spake one to another, and the Lord, he wrote a book of remembrance for them. Yes, he did. Those that thought on his name. Now listen to where we go when we get to chapter 4:1. Because we've covered 18 on the last meeting. Behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven. Don't that sound like some of the Elijah stuff? All that burning, all that fire, all that judgment. I'm tired of playing. You got to make a choice. You got to make a decision. Get the worship right. If you don't get the worship right, you'll be removed. The day cometh that shall burn as an oven. And look, In verse 15, we had the proud and the wicked, right? So now I want you to see what I was trying to do when I pulled that verse, because I want us to see that that verse actually does go with chapter 4, and we're going to really be able to understand when I said that when Elijah comes, Elijah is actually coming to prepare the way for the Messiah. So now I got the verses side by side. Listen to what we have in 15, and I'm going to read 4 and 1. And now we call the proud happy. The middle part of 4 and 1, and the proud yea, and all that do wickedly shall be stubble. Now we call the proud happy, yea, they that work wickedness or set up. Do you know proud is speaking of being puffed up, being lifted up, being arrogant? God says when that day come, the proud that's puffed up and the wicked that are set up, I'm telling you that not only are they not going to be built up, but they are going to be brought down to stubble just like on the ground. And the day cometh that shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts. But you said, we call it proud happy. And they that do wickedness are set up, and they that tempt God are delivered. God is saying the day comes that my judgment is executed. In other words, they have treasured up wrath against the day of wrath and the revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who has judged every man according to his works. And then he uses that title, I said, the Lord of hosts. Then it shall leave them neither root, or say it like some people say, root or branch. That's an amazing thing to hear right there when it says it's not going to leave them root or branch. Because the book of Job, you know, in the book of Job, you'll hear sometimes people talk in the book of Job, and they'll say things that are not necessarily what the Bible is saying about the situation, but they'll let you know what their truth is, what their sayings are. If it's talking about agriculture, how things work, listen to what is said here when he brings it up about the root and the branch. Listen to the person that's confident. Listen to this. I'm going to start at 14. His confidence shall be rooted out of his tabernacle, and it shall bring him to the king of terrors. It shall dwell in his tabernacle because it is none of his. Brimstone, talking about fire, burning, shall be scattered upon his habitation. His roots shall be dried up, and above his branch shall be cut off. His remembrance shall perish from the earth, and he shall have no name in the street. Is that pretty bad? He shall be driven from light to darkness and chased out of the world. He shall have no son nor nephew among his people, nor any remaining in his dwellings. And they that come after him shall be astonished at his day, and they that went before him affrighted. Surely, such are the dwellings of the wicked, and this is the place of him that knoweth not God. Again, when I bring this up, when this man is talking and applying this to Job, he's wrong. This does not apply to Job. But Bildad, obviously, even when you look at Malachi, what he is talking about was true. Here are some wicked that's going to be burnt up, saith the Lord. Here is some is not, you are not going to have anyone following after you. You are not going to be productive in your wickedness anymore. You are not going to be remembered as a great one. You are not going to have root or branch. I will judge. You don't like my worship. You want to change my worship. You don't honor me. You want to give me half sacrifices and treat me any kind of way. Treat your wife any kind of way and not tremble at my word. And ask where the God of judgment and call wicked good and good evil. I'm going to root you out and burn you up.
Oh, that's the Old Testament. We're not through.
But listen to this. But you that fear my name, shall the Son of Righteousness come with healing in his wings. Do you know how beautiful that is? Those that hung on, you get a taste of what I do. And I want you to see how this lines up. I want to just take the time to show you how it lines up. In Malachi 3 and 15, listen, I'm just going to read it quickly, and I'm going to show you 16. And now we call the proud happy. Well, we see they're not happy, not when God judges. And they that work wickedness are set up. Well, we see they're cut down when they don't serve God properly. Yea, they that tempt God or even deliver God, so they'll burn up. But listen, then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and thought upon his name. And he said, and they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts. And that day, when I make up my jewels, I will spare them as a man spares his own son. Listen to how this actually runs parallel to what was said here. The wicked will be turned into stubble. When that day come and burn up, saith the Lord of hosts, they will not leave root or branch, but to you that fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall arise. I know who's in my book, with healing in his corners, in his wings, and they shall go forth and grow up as calves in the stall, just like the very same ones that make up his jewels. And ye shall tread down the wicked. In other words, Satan's workers, those that started in his house, those that followed, those that rejected my word, those that did not honor me, those that honored themselves, those that took up my sacrifices, those that didn't teach the people, led the people astray, they'll be under your feet. They shall be as ashes, they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet. In that day, I do it. In that day, I shall do this, saith the Lord of hosts. Now, in history, truly, the people that were supposed to follow God, they had the opportunity when Jerusalem was being built, burnt, and when people were dying, and before everything caught fire, they couldn't get away. Many of them had the opportunity to tread over the tops of the very thing that those people owned. And many of those, they were able to see them being brought down low because when their day of visitation came, they didn't listen. And they listen to this. I'm telling you what will be. I'm telling you that I'm sending my messenger. I've given you the picture of the one that comes to bring judgment. I'm not telling you of somebody that's going to tell you this is my Bible and I have what it says that I can have and I can do what it says I can do. I'm not telling you about someone that's going to stand up and say there's a sweet, sweet spirit in this place but not going to walk according to my will. I'm not telling you about somebody that's going to make you feel good and teach you how to win friends and influence people. I'm sending you somebody that's going to come in and speak my word, that trembles at my word, that makes fun of the wicked, that mocks the ungodly God, and tell the people the truth this day, and ask you how long will you be halt between two opinions when you think that you're doing one. I'm going to send someone that will say, throw down that Jezebel and let her die. I'm going to send you someone that's going to tell you the same way you did that righteous man and you killed him, the dogs will lick up your blood. I'm sending you a messenger like Elijah the prophet. Before I send my messenger, because when my messenger comes, you need your heart already tenderized. You need your heart already made right to listen. How is he going to do it? He's told you what's going to happen. He's going to think back. Remember ye the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded him in Horeb for all of Israel. I would submit to you that the law that God gave Moses, you could get a better reiteration of what I believe is talked about here in Deuteronomy chapter 28 and 29 and 30, where God says, if you obey me, what I'll do for you, but if you don't, I will curse you. I will bring curses upon you that you will never forget. Now, but if you want the short version, for those that don't really like to read the Bible, for those that say, you know, it's just too much to read in the Bible. But you can watch hours of TV. Go to Leviticus 26 and just listen. I want to give you just a taste. Verse 1, you will make no idol gods, no image, no graven image, nor rip a standing image, neither set up any image of stone in your land, bow down to it. I am the Lord your God. You will keep my Sabbath reverence, my sanctuary reverence. Did you see they weren't doing that? Mm-hmm. Remember the law of my servant Moses? This is why I'm doing this. I'm not doing it just to be harsh as people will call it. I'm not doing it to be mean as people call it. But I'm overdue. Not overdue on my time, but on your time, I could have struck you all down a long time ago. Remember my law of the servant Moses. Reverence my sanctuary. Who am I? I am the Lord. If you walk in my statutes and keep my commandments, then I will give you rain in your seasons of abundance. You'll be like fat calves now. The land shall yield its increase. The trees of the field shall yield its fruit. Your threshing, when you're threshing out, your grain shall reach till you get the vintage of your grapes for wine. And your vintage that you're getting for your wine will reach till it's time to sow. You will have so much you will stay busy. You'll eat the bread to the full and dwell in your land safely. The reason you all are taking stupid sacrifices now, the reason you're not doing what I'm saying, the reason you offer me nothing, you don't value me in my word, you don't trust me, you think that I'm nothing, and I have already blown on what you have. I'm the one that has cut you back, but the time will come when I purge you just like silver, and when I purge you like silver, I'm going to spare some like they're my sons, and my sons are going to go out like calves to the stall, fat and happy, full of abundance. And I'm not talking about obese. I'm talking about fat when you feel good, but you still got your abs. And I will give peace to the land. He said he would set up his tabernacle. I just want to give you a little taste of what he said he would do, because I need you to remember my servant Moses, 26 and 14. But if you will not hearken to me and not do all these commandments, if you despise my statutes, the Lord is contemptible. Or if you have borne my judgments, you don't treat your wife right, you don't treat judgment right, so that you will not do my commandments and break my covenant, I will do this to you. I will even appoint over you terror, consumption, the burning egg, and that will consume the eyes, cause sorrow of heart. You will sow your seed in vain, and your enemies will eat it. Move to 18. If you will not hearken to me, then I will punish you seven times more, and I will break the pride. You saying we're proud and happy? I will break the pride of your power. Why do you think it's going to be stubble? Remember the law of my servant Moses. Then he said your strength will be in vain. Verse 21, if you walk contrary to me and will not hearken to me, I will bring seven times more plagues upon you and your sons. I will send beasts. I will send them to rob you of your children, your cattle, etc. 23, if you will not be reformed by these things and walk contrary to me, I will walk contrary to you, and I will punish you seven times for your sins, and bring the sword upon you to avenge the quarrel of my covenant. Now we're back to the messenger that comes before my face. Remember the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded him in Horeb to all Israel. Can you remember a little bit now that I went over it? Good. With the statutes and the judgment, behold, I will send Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord, the day of judgment. It's going to do two things. Turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to the fathers, lest I come and smite you with a curse. That's what the Bible says. So how do we get that? Well, we're going to, for the sake of time, we're going to go to Luke chapter 1 and 16 and see what God's messenger, the one that talked to Daniel, that was still living during the time of Zechariah, what did he say? Well, in the 14th verse of, I think I said 16, but I'm going to look at 1 and, let's do 13. I wanted to see what it said, Gabriel. I knew his name was Gabriel, but I'm not going to read all of that. I'm going to be kind and sweet. This is what it says in verse 14, Luke 1, 1 and 14. And thou shalt have joy and gladness. He's talking to Zacharias. And many shall rejoice at his birth, John the Baptist. For he shall be great. He shall be great in the sight of the Lord. He shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, not because he's wicked, but because he's going to be consecrated to me as a high priest. What do you mean, Tim, as a high priest? A high priest would have a thing on his head that said, holiness to the Lord. That means he was dedicated. Well, if this man is a Nazarite and he doesn't cut the hair, his head will be dedicated not as a high priest, and because his hair, he won't be a Nazarite. But usually these are the things that's used with a Nazarite, and I believe he fulfilled it as a Nazarite. If you can prove me wrong, then I'll change what I said. But he'll neither drink wine nor strong drink, like Samson didn't, supposed to, and he will be filled with the Holy Ghost even from his mother's womb. And listen, and many of the children of Israel shall return to the Lord their God. First things first. And he shall go before him in the spirit and the power of Elijah. He will go in the spirit. What was the spirit and power of Elijah? Tell the truth. Tell it ever. Cost whatever it will. But anybody that don't tell the truth, he does the wrong thing still. The words of John's mouth and the meditation of John's heart was acceptable in God's sight. He was full of the Holy Spirit. Elijah's word and the meditation of his heart was acceptable in God's sight. And when he gave out judgment, God didn't let his word drop to the ground. Here there's a man coming in the spirit of John the Baptist. You all have gotten to the place that you don't understand what true worship to me is. So I'm going to send you someone in the power of Elijah. And he shall go before him in the spirit of the power of Elias to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just to make ready a people prepared. Notice this. If you as a nation don't do it, he's just making ready a people. Are you smelling? Can you smell what's going on in here? Is something's cooking? He says, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Yeah, we know Zechariah didn't know how this was going to be, but God let his mouth be where he couldn't talk for a while till he believed. So, we'll go back to Malachi 4 and 5. Behold, I send you Elijah, the prophet, before I send my messenger, the Messiah. I send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. Is that good that we can see Elijah? Is it good that we can see why? And he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. How do we know how the father's heart was supposed to be front to the children? Because we are supposed to have read God's word before. We supposed to know what God's word was. We supposed to know that the fathers supposed to train the children when they rise up, when they sit down, when they go by the way, that they were supposed to teach them of God's wonderful acts. That's why when they set those stones up, when they came across the Jordan, he said, your children will ask one day, what meaneth this? You supposed to tell them what meaneth that, what God did. You supposed to show them all of God's statutes. You supposed to show them how you fear God, how you tremble at his word, how you don't alter his word, so that that will be the way of their living. You supposed to impose God on them. That's why I'm telling you to sacrifice, to circumcise them when they're 8 days old, when they can't even fight against it. It's not their thought, it's not their opinion that matters, it's what God said. And I'm going to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. Imagine a father's heart that wasn't toward the children and wouldn't circumcise them back in those days. And the young girl would be set aside for 66 days while the consecration of the mother would have to take place. And this is what God said he's doing. And then he'll turn the children to the fathers. Why? Because God is the one to give the parents the honor. God is the one to tell the children to obey the parents. And if they got so far out of line, God had a way of stopping it forever. Now listen to what the word of God says about this when they come before the Messiah. The prophet. Let me look and see how much time I have elapsed. Oh, goody. I can read it. In the 11th chapter of Matthew, the Bible says, Matthew chapter 11 and 1. And it came to pass when Jesus had made an end of commanding the 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and preach in their cities. Now, when John, this is Elias, which was to come, had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said, art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Jesus answered and said unto them, Go and show John the things which you do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached unto them. Listen to this. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. Well, you know, when you understand John coming in the spirit and the power of Elijah, you would understand when he said, blessed is he that is not offended in me. Listen to how John talked in Matthew 3 and 1. In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea saying, repent! Repent you! That's what repent ye mean, you. That, well, he said, repent you. You repent. All of you all that think you all are righteous, that's the second person. It's a plural you. Repent you. But the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's here. It's right here and right now. This is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare you the way of the Lord. And Malachi picked up on the same kind of thing about Elijah coming. Make his path straight. Is he talking about making paths straight in the wilderness? Or is he talking about repenting? If he's saying repenting, he's talking about the path of your heart. He's talking about the way that you live. He's talking about the religious things that you do that's not my will. So much so that you will say one day, we have no king but Caesar. And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair and leathern girdle about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey. Then went out all Jerusalem to prepare the way like God said, and Judea to the region of round about Jordan, and were baptized. And he said unto them, well, I said that wrong, but many of the Pharisees and Sadducees came to his baptism, and he said of them, so what happened when I roll my screen, sometimes too many lines move, he said, oh, generation of vipers, sons of the devil. Somebody say, Tim, how do you get sons of the devil? Because the serpent tempted Eve. Sons of the wicked one, who has warned you to flee from the wrath to come. Now you would think, Joe said, but I'm glad you're here. Oh, praise Yahweh. Baruch Hashem. Praise his name. Praise Adonai that you came. What did John say? I'm already used to you all coming. I'm already used to you all worshiping. I'm already used to you all having sacrifices. I'm already used to you all doing stuff and still putting away your wife. How do you know that, Tim? Because in Matthew 19, they want to know, can we put our wives away for every cause? And Jesus said, no. But then Moses said, because you were hard in your heart. Don't play with me in the word of God. Then it says, verse 8, bring therefore fruit, meat, or suitable for repentance. In other words, everything you've done up to now, it's not even suitable for repentance. And think not to say to yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. Think not to say that I'm a Levite. What do you mean? For those that are not Levites, those that are Judahites, those that are Simeonites, those that are Reubenites, but you especially that are Levites, you go back to your father Israel, to Isaac, and you are the very one that he said he would purify. Think not to yourself. That we have Abraham to our father, for I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children to Abraham. And now the axe is laid to the root of the tree. Malachi said, this is who's coming. The messenger. Elijah before Messiah. We need to, when we teach the gospel, do we go and let people in their ungodliness and their wickedness and their saying they love God and they live in any kind of way and don't honor the God of the scripture, let them feel good about who they are. The scripture gave Elijah first. Then he sent the Messiah. Because the message don't get any softer when you get to the Messiah. Your heart need to be right. What did John say? First of all, John said he can replace you with stones. But if they'll believe on him, those stones will be children of Abraham. And now the root. And now the axe is laid to the root of the tree. What did he say about root and branch? The axe is laid to the root of the tree. Therefore, every tree which bringeth not good fruit is hewn down. Walk around in your pride of being a Levite. Walk around in your pride of being a Gadite or a Simeonite. The axe is laid to the root of the tree. If you don't bring forth the good fruit, and that's repentance starting with, you're cast into the fire. Listen to this. I indeed come before the Messiah. Read it right, Tim. 11. I indeed baptize you with water to repentance. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I. If you think my words are something, you all think Elijah was something, because he could call down fire.
His shoes I'm not worthy to bear. I'm not worthy to carry his shoes like a slave.
He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost. Do you remember my name? Do you hold on my name? I come with healing in my wings. I come with healing in my wings. I will lift you up. I'll make you fat and happy like calves coming from the stall. But what about those that don't?
And with fire, whose fan is in his hand, he will thoroughly purge his floor, just like silver is purged and gold is purged. He will purge his floor and gather the wheat into his garner, where it's supposed to be, where he can use it for what his purpose are, and burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. And you don't have to believe me if you don't want to, but he's not talking about plants now. He's talking about two different groups of people. And the Bible says, it's beautiful. Behold, the day cometh that you're burning as an oven, the proud, and all the wickedness should be as done as stubble. And the day cometh, saith the Lord of hosts, I won't leave root or branch. What did John say? The axe is there, is there, is there. But do you that fear my name? Here comes the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit gonna be for you. Those that fear my name, the Son of Righteousness will rise with a healing in his wings, and you shall go forth as calves of the stall, and you will tread down the wicked. They're going to be the chaff. They should be ashes under the sole of your feet, and in the day that I do this, says the Lord of hosts, remember the law of Moses. In other words, I keep my word, which I command him in Horeb. You remember the statutes? You remember the judges? I send Elijah. I send Elijah before I send Messiah, before the coming of the great and dreadful. Didn't it say wonderful? Dreadful. If you're wicked, it's dreadful. Folks, only God can judge me. The Lord know my heart. The Lord know I'm just a human. That's why he gonna cut you in sunder. You are human and don't depend on him. You are a human and don't depend on him. And do not bow down your wretched heart and your proud heart and your unstable heart to his offer of his son as a redemption for your sin.
And I'm dead. You better get your mind right. Read the word of God. And he shall turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. Yes, when you're purged, when you're right, you would not do your children wrong. Lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. Somebody said, Tim, but what else? Can we just have a little taste more? Yeah, this thing is so good when I see what God was doing and how he was doing what he was doing when he was doing it. I'm glad you think so too. Now let's go back then to Matthew chapter 11. Verse number, he had already answered, is Jesus the one that should come. So he said the blind received their sight, healing in his wings. Deaf hear. Lame walk, lepers are cleansed for the first time, dead raised up, poor have the good news of the gospel preached to them. And he says, blessed is he whosoever is not offended in me. John preached the gospel like that. Blessed would be the one that would not be offended in me, but would be offended in himself and trust God. And now I'm the messenger. I'm the one that he talked about. Well, listen to what the Bible says, Jesus says in 11 and 7 Matthew concerning John. And as they departed, Jesus began to say to the multitude concerning John, what went ye out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaking in the wind, like a big piece of grass or a weed. It says reed, but it's just like a weed. When the wind blow this way, blow that way. The wind blow this way, blow that way. If this time we're supposed to be with this president, if this time we're supposed to be with this community, if this time we're with abortion, this time we're not with abortion, this time we're with gay marriage, this time we're with whatever. What did you go out to see? Somebody said we can sacrifice this way and sacrifice that way. We don't have to bring the bear as long as we pray. So what did you go to see? Someone that didn't know Elijah wasn't like that. Choose you this day. What's his name? Joshua said, and Elijah said off the same kind of tip. How long do you hold between two opinions? If God be God, let him be God. And if not Baal, because I know what we're getting ready to do to the Baalites. Choose. What did you go to see? A man, a reed shaking in the wind, can't speak truth? But what did you go out to see? A man clothed in soft raiment?
That word malakos. That word malakos is talking about effeminacy of a homosexual. Listen to the lemma. I'm going to show you right here. I'm going to pull a lemma from the Bible section. Malakos. Malachi hematia soph catamite. It's talking about the type of clothing that a catamite would wear. Well, somebody say, well, the Bible didn't say it. Well, you have to understand the Bible was not written in a vacuum. The Bible was not written in a vacuum. The Bible was written and they used words that people would know. They talked about things that people would understand. Who did you go to see? Somebody like that? Because if you went to see that from John, you had the wrong one, my friend. That is not who John was. John was a man coming. He's coming in the spirit and the power of Elijah. Elijah stood up against kings. Elijah stood up against wicked, nasty, filthy Jezebel. Elijah was the man that God wanted to bring the people's heart, bringing the fathers back to the children and the children to the fathers. But guess what? A lot of times people would not listen. And Ahab with his wicked mouth, are you the one that troubled the nation? The nation is troubled when you go outside of God's word. Now listen to this, one of the great dictionaries of all time. I'm being funny when I say Wikipedia, one of the great dictionaries of all time. Listen to the word catamite. In ancient usage, catamite, Latin, catamitus, was a pubescent boy who was the intimate companion of a young man in ancient Greece and Rome, usually in a pederastic friendship. It was usually a term of affection and usually means Ganymede in Latin. You know, you get older, that R, the N and the R look alike. It was also used as an insult toward a grown man. The word derives the proper noun catamus. In other words, to break it down, the little boy or the person was the sexual activity on the receiving end. A lot of times in pederasty, if a boy wanted to learn a trade, he would go get with older men, and that's pretty much what they would do. And the individual, they would have the boys for their sex slave. Oxford Learner's Dictionary says a boy kept a slave for a man to have sex with. They would have the one that they would have to play with. That would be the boys, and they'd have the wives, the four children. And Jesus said, did you go to see a catamite? Is that what you thought you were going to see? Someone that can't make a decision? Someone that's delicate? But he said, they that wear soft clothing are in king's house. You knew what was going on in Rome. But what went you out for to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and more than a prophet.
You mean more than a prophet?
He's called a messenger. You better understand this. It says, and more than a prophet. Yea, I say unto you, and more than a prophet, for this is he of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare the way before thee. Verily I say, among them that are born of women, there has not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. Well, from those days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. Well, the prophets and the law, remember Moses, prophesied unto John, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. If you want to understand, if you want to get to the place where you understand the kingdom of heaven, those are going to have to follow their leader. Those are going to have to go through and press through the gate. But you don't press through being soft. You don't press through doing wickedly. You don't press through not knowing what God's word say. Because other than that, you will be ran over. When you stand for God, you stand for right, and justice has to be made, and blessed are the peace makers. You make peace according to the king, and the king gives the conditions of peace, and you make peace according to his word. And he says in verse 14, and if you will receive this, if you will receive it, this is Elijah, or Elias, which was the calm. He that has ears to hear, let him hear.
Turn the hearts of the children to the father and the fathers to the children, lest I come and smite the earth. We're almost finished. I'm going to give you just a little more taste on this. But what will I liken this generation when Jesus come on the scene? Not when we'll be talking about right now in 2014. It's applicable. But what will I like in this generation? It's like children sitting in the streets calling to their fellas and saying, we piped to you, but you didn't dance. We played a jig. We played the music and you wouldn't dance. Then we came and we mourned when you had sorrow and you didn't lament. God, we can't make you happy. We can't make you sad. God can't please you when you give a sacrifice. God can't please you when you give justice. God can't please you when you give mercy. God can't please you in any way because you don't like his standard. You call right wrong, wrong right, and you call the proud happy, and you call the wicked those that are set up. He said, listen to this. He says, John came either eating or drinking, like he was told. You say he has a devil. He tell you the truth, you call him wicked. He tell you the axe is laid to the root of the tree, you say he has a devil. He say, don't be talking about Abraham as your daddy, you got a devil. He talking about God can bring up stones. You say he got a devil. He crazy. He's a fanatic. Well, the message of the covenant, the one who's going to get the kingdom, the Son of Man, he came, he ate with you, and he drank wine with you. And you say, he eat too much. Behold, a gluttonous man in a wine bibber. He's supposed to be drinking wine. And you say, he a friend of publicans and sinners. He like people that work for the IRS. He like sinners. But wisdom is justified of her children. Then he began to upbraid the city, and I'm reading this so that you can see, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. I'm going to show you here. Then he began to upbraid the city wherein most of his mighty works were done. The forerunner came, you didn't turn your heart. Then I came, I got to do something. Where most of his mighty works were done because they repented not. That means you didn't listen. That was the first thing John told you to do. Woe unto you, Chorazin. Woe unto you, Bethsaida. For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have long ago repented in sackcloth and ashes. I determined that they would not have as much light as you did, but I know them. I was there. They would have repented. But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon in the day of judgment than for you and Capernaum, which is off to heaven. You shall be brought down to hell for the mighty works that have been done in you have been done in Sodom. It would have remained unto this day, but I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable in the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee. Do you remember what happened to Sodom? It was burned to the ground with fire and brimstone. The day come that will burn. He says, you turn the heart of the father to the children and the heart of the children to their father, lest I come and smite the earth or the land with a curse. I will submit to you in 70 AD, around August and September, the land was burned. Just like Sodom, just like Gomorrah. But those that loved his name, those that held on to him, they were able to move on about God's business and do his will. And according to Josephus, as well as the historian Eusebius, none of them died. How much more for those of us who call ourselves the children of God? How much more for those of us who say we love God's word and we get caught up with every kind of worship and every kind of religion, but when it comes down to it, we won't stand for God's word because it's not acceptable. Well, John the Baptist wasn't acceptable either. He condemned the whole group of people by telling the truth. Jesus wasn't acceptable because they said that he went against Moses. No, the time comes when people get so far away from the truth, they'll be halt between two opinions, and they think they do God's service when they try to kill and destroy the servants of God. Who do you want to be? I want to be one of those that remember God sent Elijah before he sent the Messiah. So that when the Messiah came, you saw it didn't get any softer. It was the exact same thing. But do you understand? I'm the one that can take away your sin, or I'm the one that will seal your doom. Don't play with him. When he comes, he is the messenger of the covenant. And unless his blood is sprinkled on you, figuratively speaking, you are lost. The Son of Man came not to condemn the world. He came that the hearts of the Father would be turned to the sons, that the world through him might be saved. John 3:17. But verse 18 says, but he that believeth not, that means he won't repent, is condemned already, because he has not believed on the name, on the only begotten Son of God. And that doesn't mean believe on the name. I believe that the name of Jesus. No! Believe on the authority. And if you want to know what his authority is, you need to read what the scriptures say about it. And when we do that, we will understand and we can rejoice that God sends Elijah, for he sent the Messiah. Because repentance must take place, a humbling of the heart. That last thing in that 11th chapter, then he says, come to me, all of you that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. I can reveal to you the Father, and the Father can reveal to you the Son. Other than that, you won't even have the revelation. You can walk around and be religious. You can speak in tongues. You can do anything you want to. You can go to church, have your Bible, do catechism, or whatever. But unless you repent and come to me right, you are dying your sins. I believe that now would be a good time to pray and ask God that he would open our eyes to the wondrous things in his word. Father, I ask you to look upon us and open our eyes to the wondrous things in your word. Open our eyes and help us to understand we're not supposed to be like reeds shaking in the wind. It wasn't supposed to be only for John. You said a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. We're not supposed to be like reeds shaking in the wind, nor like perverted boys or perverted men that will go outside of your order and try to be something that we are not, trying to be soft when we're supposed to be standing on your word, which is truth, which is like a hammer that break rocks into pieces, that's like fire that can consume the chaff. We're supposed to be sons and daughters of you in your matchless glory. Help us not to water down your word, but that we'll tremble at it, and that we will not be offering you false and wretched sacrifices that you will not accept. That we will understand that the way we treat each other in our home, the way that we honor and reverence you, and the sacrifices that we bring to you, and the offering that we bring to you, and the words that come out of our mouth, and how we speak of you, you remember. And it's an offering. And that we would hold on to the end and be faithful. We will get to rule and reign with you. I ask you to help us, guide us, and strengthen us. In the blessed name of your holy child, Jesus Christ the righteous. Amen and amen.